Have your say. Phone the sports panel now. 1-300-222-720.
Brett Sprigg alongside Shane Lowden and Mark Duffield is in Adelaide getting ready for tonight's game, the West Coast Eagles away to the Power, the AFL elimination final. But not to forget the Dockers, who, while not competing in finals this year, will be doing plenty of work as we approach the off-season trade and draft periods. There's a couple of things for that football department to work through. The man who heads up that department is Chris Bond, and he can join us on Sports Talk. G'day, Chris.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Going pretty well. What are the kinds of things that happen this time of year? Obviously, you've got plenty of players with Peel Thunder in the finals. Is this the time of year where you sit down with list managers, recruiters, other footy staff and start to get a good picture of what the club needs going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's not a set and forget mentality during the year and we just start reviewing now. I mean, there's a review process, certainly when it comes to coaching and the team, that happens really on a weekly basis. But this time of year, the first week is about getting the players out that haven't qualified for WAFL. So once that happens, really from there, we're looking at, you know, structures in our football department, also in regards to, yeah, there's list management processes that we go through, which we still have a little bit of time on. But all those sort of things happen, and it's a very busy period.
We already know about Mark Stone, who leaves the coaching staff this year. Are there likely to be other changes, and when do you start to work through those?
No, we've got the coaches recontracted that are there now, but in regards to our finalising our coaching structure, that's still ongoing. We think we have some time with that. We're not going to rush into that at all, and that's something that we're working through with myself, Ross Lyon, Tom Morris, and discuss with Steve Rossich at the due time. So that's something that we're keeping on working through and keeping our process pretty thorough on that.
From a playing point of view, I mean, look, Nathan Wilson would obviously be a handy addition. Realistically, what can you do at this time of year to give yourself the best possible chance of securing a player like that?
Yeah, look, from our end, our list management process is really much the same as every other club's. You know, from our point of view, when you're rebuilding and you're young, the draft process is an enormous part of what you do, and player movement has been certainly increased in regards to free agency and trade, certainly over the short term, especially since free agency's come in as well. So, you know, we have a list management model, a list management process that we'll continue to work through.
Daniel Pearce has a contract for next year, but certainly from where we're standing, he doesn't seem to be a required player. Have you given Daniel an idea of what might happen now and what might be the best sort of outcome for both parties?
Well, look, our process, like I said, the first part of really the week when you finish is about really getting the players that don't qualify for Waffles football out. We still have worked through that. You're right, Daniel's got a contract for next year. Daniel's still training and playing really well when it comes to our Waffle. So from then on, we'll just continue to work through our list management process and go from there.
I noticed Gary Gibbetson announced his retirement to the playing group a few weeks ago. Zach Dawson also won't be a Docker next year. Has he had a chance to speak to his teammates as a group?
Yeah, well, Zach's certainly been given that opportunity. And both Zach and Garrick's obviously been at the club longer, but they've really given their all to the football club. And, you know, and we really give it up to the player to really have that option of whether they want to speak to the group or don't want to speak to the group. And there's an enormous amount of respect for Garrick as there is for Zach. So we really leave it up to them. But he's been a wonderful contributor to our football club, Zach. And even this year, not playing really hardly any AFL football at all, what he's done at our Waffle level in regards to leadership, development, that competitive spirit has been enormous. So he'll be sadly missed, as well as Garrick.
Fremantle football manager Chris Bond with us on Sports Talk right across WA. Mark Duffield.
Chris, we've been getting some calls of disquiet about the alignment model and the availability of your players for Peel in the finals. How does the team see where that's at the moment? Are you open to further change? And can you talk us through how the club makes a decision on, say, a player like Nick Subin, who fought his way back into your AFL team in the back half of the season, but then finds himself back at Peel come Waffle finals time?
Yeah, look, our process, and it's changed a bit. So I think the first thing is really the guidelines and the parameters that we're given from the Waffle, and that changed from last year to this year where there's 15 players that are available. And we sit down, there's a match committee meeting during the course of the week with Peel, Cam Shepherd, and Peel representatives and us as well. And when it comes to finals, it's a really good opportunity for Peel to continue to do what they do last year. So, you know, they pick the best team they can to give themselves the opportunity to win, and that's what happened at the start of the finals, and it'll continue to happen.
We saw you have a significant shift in your list at the end of last year. What sort of numbers are we looking at shifting this year? Is it going to be a similar size, or are you thinking of a smaller list shift, perhaps more specifically targeted in particular areas?
Well, I think that's something we look at all the way through. I mean, you know, there's no secret in the fact that when you're rebuilding a club, that there's going to be changes at your football club, and we haven't hidden away from that, and that's the case that will be. But really identifying how many or something, because it's not something I'd feel comfortable doing on air, but there'll be changes to our list because we've done this before a number of years ago, and that's, you know, you do have to turn over your list to be able to do that. But, you know, the part of that is really respect to the players that are there, that are still playing, and we'll continue to work through our list management process, which is, you know, we still have time to be able to do that.
And one final one from me, Chris. Ross Lyon indicated a week or so out from finals that he was hopeful that Harley Bennell might play some waffle finals, and then after the game at Docklands against Essendon, you decided to sit Harley down for September. Can you talk us through the process there and what his program will be at the start of summer to make sure he's ready to go round one next year?
Yeah, it's a good question, because really, from our point of view, Harley, I think all of us who love the game, you know, would be sitting outside going, gee, it's great to see Harley back playing. And for him to do that at waffle level and play the last two games was great for Harley physically, but even more so emotionally, I think, was great for him to get back onto the field. And there was that discussion. We just didn't want to rush into a discussion and before the last game and then decide, you know, say 2-3 weeks out, this is what's going to happen. So we finished the last game, and really it's a medico decision. And, you know, we've backed that all the way through. Myself, Ross, Jason Weber, our doctors, our medico team, sat down and, you know, came to the conclusion that, you know, it wasn't worth the risk, and he'd done what we needed to do this year. In regards to moving forward, his off-season program is really set, and Harley's been in the system a long time, so that'll be up to him to adhere to, which that won't be an issue. You know, his commitment to his training has been first class, and his rehab especially since he's been here. And our aim is for him to do as much pre-season as he can to get himself up to AFL standard, to be the player he has been and the player we need him to be.
Morning, Chris. Shane Y. Woden. Out of your footy review this year, what's the couple of things that you need to be able to improve on another step or two just to be able to, be, again, a little bit more competitive and continue to grow and develop as a team next year?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, there were some games that we were non-competitive in, and the first thing is to eradicate them. But I think we've all been in the game long enough to know that you know, well, that can happen when you're rebuilding a team. You're playing four first-year players and you've got some injuries to your leaders and senior players as well. So we know that. We don't like that, but we understand our first point of call is to make sure that we're really competitive throughout. But the positives, you know, have outweighed the negatives in regards to us being able to put a young team on the park, develop those players in a game style you need to do. And oh, look, it's the same philosophy. It's a very simple philosophy, isn't it, in AFL football, and every club's do it. You need to get the right players into your club with both character and ability. You need to be able to have them fit and available and put a really strong program around them, and then you need to be able to teach them a really clear and successful game plan. And we've shown we've been able to do that in the past, and that's going to be our main focus moving forward.
What are the positives? What's excited you about 2017 with the playing group and given real belief for not only yourself as a footy club, but for your supporters next year?
Well, I think obviously there's a big focus on, you know, our young players and some young players and what they've done and being able to put games into them. And people who have come to games would have seen signs of that. But really, as much a part of that has been the ability of our leaders to be able to stand up, you know. So, you know, the last 2 years we've had you know, two captains in regards to David Mundy and Nat Fyfe, and they've really led from the charge in regards to what we're doing as a football club. Nat's first year as a captain has been outstanding. We've got a young leadership group that are really leading the way, and we've seen that in games throughout the course of the year. There was a two-month period where we really were competitive with everyone and still a young team, and you can't do that without, as you guys would know, without your leaders and your quality people around the club really standing out. So as much as the list point of view, and as a club and a coaching group point of view, you know, Ross is obviously we know what his strengths are. He's led the club brilliantly in that regard, and so have our coaches. I think the dynamic of that's been really strong, and we've all got a real, you know, keen eagerness to make sure that we keep developing and doing this thing right.
Very quickly, Chris, your old teammate Clive Waterhouse was back at the club during the week. Did you get much of a chance to catch up with him?
I actually didn't. I got told just afterwards, so it would have been nice to give him the heads up, but I was bunkered down. It's been a big couple of weeks. But no, I didn't. I had enough fortune to be able to play with Clive in the late 90s, so no, I would have been able to say good day, but no, I didn't catch up.
Fantastic. Appreciate your time, Chris Bond, joining us on Sports Talk.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.